Sorry, I'll try and make this as painful then.
Make it painful.
Which, to be quite honest, if you've ever had an interview by me, you probably would go, yeah, painful. So joining me this morning on the Friday of Hard Rock Hell is Dante Fox with Sue, Tim and Scott. And you played last night.
We did.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was awesome, yeah. We've played here, we've done this twice before, yeah. But I think last night was the best we've done. We've got a slightly new lineup as well.
Yeah.
And I particularly thought he was particularly good last night. Great sound, great lighting and great stage and a great audience. So.
Yeah. It was always a pleasure to photograph here because the lights are great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you kind of get that feeling from the bands on stage. They go, oh, this is all right. We can see what we're doing. You can see the crowd. You can see what's going on. And that must make a difference to your performances.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Yeah. And the other difference we've had to the performance is Scott joining us.
Yeah.
Which has given us a different energy.
Is that just because he's new? Being nice because he's new.
A little bit of the history over the last 12 months. Yeah. We were scheduled to play this festival last year.
That's right.
We had to pull out at the last minute because Andy Perfect, our drummer for many, many years, great player, great pal and everything, decided to leave. Mm. So we messed around with a couple... Sorry, I shouldn't say that. We got a drummer in who wasn't up to it. And we had to pull out because of that reason, which was awful. So it was everything was scheduled to do that. That's when I first sort of got in contact with Scott. We didn't go down that route at the time with Scott because Scott's not local to us, and we thought we needed someone more local so we can spend more time doing certain things. Mm. That didn't work out. We've come a full circle. He's really given the sound a real kick up the backside. Mm. Plays all Andy's parts. Plus more, he's capable of a lot more as well. But he plays all Andy's parts. Andy was a great player, and the problem was finding someone who can play his parts.
Yeah. Is that Tim's saying that because we've rehearsed together three times in total,
right?
And we've done two gigs together. And last Sunday we got together and we started writing some material.
Oh wow!
And that's when you can really see Scott coming into who he is, because he's no longer emulating what's been done before. So that's where the opportunity is for Scott to be Scott.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you're saying that, because
you
know, we had that experience on Sunday, which was absolutely great.
I'm a great believer is when you record an album, the parts that you play live have got to be like the album. It's got to be like listening to a live version, more upfront, more energy, but the parts have got to be the same as the album. Not totally different.
No.
I play all the same solos, so the drum part should be the same as on the album. So that was the problem. And like I say, he's come in, he's done that, and he does more, and there's a lot more to happen.
Do you find that puts pressure on you guys as a band when you say, I need it to sound like the record with a bit, rather than sort of going, well, those are the bits that people pick out and stand out, so we'll make sure that those bits are in.
No,
and then the rest were kind of...
No, it's got to be played right for me. Or don't bother.
I mean, we've gone from being a band that we used to... way back, we used to rehearse sort of four times a week, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know, and it was all that... And, you know, recording was so different and the rehearsals and all the rest of it. And I think that's never left us, that Linda Bruce and Rob Bruce were really picky about, you know, how you came across live, you know, and they wanted it spot on.
Yes.
And I think that was just embedded in us from then, really, and we've just carried on with it for us.
People have bought the albums. Yeah. I think that's what they expect to hear at the parts.
Yeah.
You know, else it could be anybody up there.
Well, you don't put it down unless you can do it. It doesn't go on the record.
Exactly.
Does it?
Yeah.
And that's that.
I think that's a good way to be. You know, particularly, you know, doing what you guys do. When it's not like you're doing covers, and you know, it's the way you can get away with bits that I think that's, and particularly in this sort of pigeonhole genre of AOR where the fans are particularly loyal, I think that must sort of count for the longevity you've
absolutely
had.
Yeah, I mean, we've been around a long time. We just met a gentleman out there who he's heard of the band, but he's actually never seen us before. He was blown away with what we did last night, and he's going to be checking out the back catalogue. And so I gave him a brief history of the six albums, and all within a couple of minutes. So he's going to be checking that out. And even to this day, I said to Scott earlier on, I expected everyone in the room to know Lost and Lonely Heart, because at other festivals they do.
Yeah.
But here it's a bit more broader based. Mm. So it's nice to sort of preach to new fans, you know.
Absolutely. So. And they are good fans at Hard Rock Hell Events.
Yeah,
they,
yeah.
They really do. They seem to take everybody in. Feel free to speak, Scott.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Yeah, there we go. Speaks. Multitasking drummer speaks and drums and hits things.
Yeah. And knows when to shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, let other people do the work. Yeah.
What it is really is he's really tempted to say the name of the band, aren't you, Scott? Which is?
Dante Fox.
So how do you usually say it?
Dante Fox.
Ah, right. Oh.
Yeah, we told it.
Ah, right. I'm guessing the direction of the difference and where you live from
exactly.
Each other now.
I told him, I said...
There's no R in it.
There's no R in Dante.
So we have had many laughs about this. It's a long... Well, not a long, but it's a running joke now, and it's good fun.
Yeah, I think I've seen you every time you've been at Hard Rock Hell.
Yeah,
and I saw you when you played the Railway Bowl.
Oh yes.
Yes. Yeah.
John and Hillary.
Friends. Our good mate's Romeo's daughter.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a great night.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I will pass on your regards. Yeah. Because they'll ask. They always do. How soon? Okay. Fine.
Sue's doing
well.
Yeah,
it's a great venue though.
Yeah.
It was. They're not doing it now. It's gone.
No, it's
right. But like a lot. So what's next on the cards? Now you've got Scott on board, and you say you started to do some writing.
Another album.
New album. When are you thinking?
We're going to try for this year. We're going for September, October. If not, it'll be the early part of next year, because we've got to speak to George as well, haven't we?
Because yeah,
we
haven't, record label, yeah. You know, that's AOR Heaven.
Yeah.
Good label.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to concentrate on now, and that's what Scott's really looking forward to.
It's going to be great. Yeah. It's been great being involved, and obviously, but you're learning a back catalogue, and you know there's already a blueprint of the part in place. So it's kind of like, okay, stay close to that, but put your personality into it. You know, so you're trying to give it a bit more energy and in your own style. But with new stuff, it's great because you go right, okay, I put that creative hat on, and you can really start working as a team. And now I think it's becoming a new animal now. You know.
And how hard is it for a drummer to play somebody else's drum parts? Not being a drummer, I wouldn't know. I'm always impressed by people who can use four limbs at the same time and barely play my guitar too, you know, and you sort of go...
Well...
I always fancied having a go, and every time I do it, it's like...
Yeah, they want me to sing as well at the same time. Yeah, I'll do that as well. So it'd be like juggling. It's always, it's like with anything, when you're copying.
Right.
So it's trying to get into the head of that particular player, whatever instrument it is, and go, okay, where were they, either on the guitar or the drums? Mm. What was the idea of, you know, the groove, the feels that they're doing? And you go, okay, you know, do I copy exactly what they did? Mm. Or have I got an idea that, you know, might feel better with the guitar run or whatever it is? But... essentially, it's like a cover, isn't it, if you're playing other people's parts, you know. So you don't want to go too far off-piste, because people go, well, that's not how it goes, do you know what I mean? So it's getting that balance right, really.
That's the sort of thing I love. I mean, I've loved music since I was about... Well, not always ever that big, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And you were once.
I was even smaller once. Once upon a time.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago. And I kind of... I love speaking to guys like yourselves that are doing what I'd always dreamt of. You know, I want to be on that stage. Well, I'm not, so I'll sit in the photo pit and speak to you instead.
Yeah. What instrument would you have played?
I'll play the guitar.
Yeah.
And if I can't get a band with it, I play bass. And somebody says, "Why'd you do that?" I say, "Because I compose more with the bass. And I don't have to think as hard." And there's quite a few bands that I'm quite close with that are playing this weekend, and so the running joke is, "Rob, why have you got four strings on that bass? Are you going to use any of the other three?"
Yeah.
So I get a punch, and then he buzzes. It's about posing, and
honestly, one of the bands that are playing today told me that last night. They said, "Oh, I can show off."
Yeah,
like, yeah, that's it.
One of the bands that I know, a mate, goes, "What do you play?" So I play the basic guitar.
And I sort of look at bass players now and go, "Oh, you're really good." And they go, "Well, can you do that?" No, I can't do that. I play really hard. So the album's coming out. Are you looking to do more shows up while
we'd
you're
like to do that?
That
yeah, we come from sort of Midlands, as you know, and my hometown is Robin, and quite a glut of fans from that area have contacted us, and they want to see us play the rock. So putting a bit of pressure on as well to want to do it. So that sort of got me off my backside, really, to look at probably putting three dates together, South, Midlands and North, in the summer sometime, probably late summer. There's a lot of other things going to be going on with new material and starting to look at recording and everything else, but that would be real nice. And of course we're out there, you know, we're up for special guests, sports slots and whatever. But that is the three headline shows plus the album. I think that's the priority.
And do you find it easier now than when you first started as a band to get your music out and recorded, or do you find it harder now than when you started?
Well, it's easy. The recording process is a lot easier because we've got gear at home that we tend to spend a lot of time when we do albums working at home, doing my part, so we use different studios and stuff, so it's easier. Technology is a lot easier and a lot easier to use. In terms of shows, I think it's the scene is good. There's people out there who want to see it, but it's quite difficult, I think, from what I've seen with other people, other bands touring, getting bums on seats on a regional level. So I don't know. I don't think the scene is as good as what people are making out, really. Festivals are great though, this, so that's why we love to do Hard Rock Hell and the other fest, you know, Fire Fest we did 4 or 5 years ago. That was always a great show. And back in the day we used to do the Gods, which was probably the original Fire Fest. Gods of Aowar, and that was a great festival as well. So, of course, we've just done Heat Festival in Germany in December, which is Scott's first gig with us, and that was an awesome show. Sold out, and it was really good.
I think that's one of the things I've noticed, is that, you know, you get good bands in the genre and the festivals are rammed and they're all going, "Oh, play more dates and then when you actually try and get all the people that have come to one place, I mean, the middle of nowhere in Wales, to be honest, that's where we are now, but they all come in and they're all great. When you try and take your show or anybody's show around the country, suddenly you're only going to get a portion of that crowd, and it must be. I almost think that must feel a bit soul destroying.
Exactly. I mean, Heat Festival. I was talking to one of the guys, and they were saying that I think it was a capacity of about 1,200 people, which was sold out. Big room. There's a room upstairs where they were using for sort of like media centre like this. Very small room. Apparently, the year before, Taiketto played upstairs to 50 people. And that's what I was told, because it's sort of in the industrial area of Stuttgart or Ludwigsburg, and they're just, the interest isn't there yet. People come together.
I think that people like this kind of event where they can come for 2, 3, 4 days. You know, just the world's gone, hasn't it? And they're in a world of music, and I think that's what they really enjoy to do. And bearing in mind how much it must cost these people to do that as well.
Yeah.
You know, tickets, accommodation, food, drink, the whole thing, isn't it? Yeah. But I think that's what people
It's a
massive outlay. It brings everybody together, and it's got some longevity. It's like a holiday, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You know, people, and I think people are getting used to that, rather than skipping down to a venue midweek or something. You know, they've got work the next day and all of that. They can just come here and just forget about all of it.
Caravan of love.
The caravans of love.
That's a title for the next album. Yeah. Seventh album. Yeah, Caravan
you
of Love.
Feel it, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
You know. And
Holiday Camp Blues.
And I think there's, as artists or bands or whatever, you that's why you enjoy so much coming and being part of it, because it's, it feels a lot more than just a gig. You know, like we opened up yesterday and we opened up, I felt, the event of the weekend for everybody to enjoy.
Oh, it was.
And
it
that was really nice.
It feels like a family holiday with the biggest family in the world that don't seem to argue that much, you know.
Yeah. It's yeah.
I'll tell you what is great as well, that crew out there are unbelievable.
Yeah,
they're amazing. The stuff they did for us, the sound guys, the guys behind the stage, anything we needed, they were there for you.
Yeah.
And they set it up, they gave us plenty of time to sound check and everything. And just so friendly, and the sound was brilliant.
Yeah.
And the, as you say, the whole crew, the set, the lights, everything. The setup is awesome. And literally, we were looking out, weren't we? And we're like, okay, the room was kind of empty and stuff. You know, no, we're opening doors. And I opened doors, and it piled
filled
in.
Up. Yeah.
It was brilliant.
It's amazing to see. And the, and this day.
Yeah.
Well, I said to the guy,
unless you do a really, really bad job, they do stay.
I said to the guy. There's no one here. He said, we ain't opened the doors yet. I'm like, well, it's 10 minutes until we go on. It's like,
don't
worry. Okay, don't worry.
Because I was at the first one that you guys did it when it was in Rotherham.
Yes, yeah.
And I've done all of them.
That was awesome as well.
That was cold. That makes this uncharacteristically tropical, is my word of the weekend. That was freezing in that place.
Yeah,
but
it was a great
setup
again.
And I thought, do you know what? This is my kind of event. And then they moved here, I'm thinking, really? Well, can I be bothered? And then I did, and that's it. Even doing this and running around taking pictures and trying to organise the interviews and things, it's a holiday for me.
Yeah.
Well, it's like this, you could do it every day of the week.
But July and August would be nice, wouldn't it? In the
sun. Yeah.
No, it'll be full of chavs. No, it's not.
Yeah. You're right, yeah. You're right.
I
never thought of that.
I moved. Sort of January last year, I moved back to the northeast where I was born, and I live by the beach, and I call the village I live in the land that time forgot. I mean, it really is. It's like 1850 at times, and but at either end of the village there's a campsite, and one of my friends is in Tyson Dog, the new wave of heavy metal, British heavy metal band, and he says, oh, I'm coming up. We're staying at the camp. Should we meet for a drink? Oh, yeah. So I met him. He said, I've got to warn you, it is chaff central in the clubhouse. And I went, nah, be staffed. And I walked in, I went, they're looking at me with my hair and my leather. And they go, yes, one of us looks out of place, and I think it's me. But it's great. I mean, I just think that, and so every band you see here, I've never seen anybody sort of come off and go, that was awful.
Yeah.
Or we had a bad show. Or you know, you get the odd technical hiccup that happens with a live show. Mm. But then it's the crowd are great and people are just so supportive. And even and the great thing is there's always bands that people go, oh, I don't know about them. Like you were saying, the guy you were talking to before.
Yeah.
And there's always somebody new that you go, oh, do you know what? They're my new favourite band.
Yeah.
It's a great advert, isn't it?
Yeah.
To reach new people.
It costs me a fortune. Every time I come, it costs me an absolute fortune when I get back. I need that. And then you go, well, how many other albums are there? That mate, I need to buy all of those. Yeah. And so look at going, you press, you get everything for free. I went, do you want to see my bank balance? It's like, nah.
That don't happen anymore. It's like all downloads, isn't it? I mean, I know AOR Heaven do all streaming.
They're great.
And
to me that's perfect, because that way I don't have to buy everything. I can hear it, like it, got it right, everything I like, I'll end up buying.
Yeah.
And they're going, really, you do that? I went, yeah, we don't get hard copies.
Don't
and when
like
bands
that.
Say to me, oh, I'll send you a CD, I'm like, don't, that's gonna cost you, don't do it.
Mm.
And they go, really? I went, yeah, really, just don't.
Yeah.
Keep your money. And they're going, very kind. I went, well, no, because if you can't make money out of it, you won't do any more.
Yeah. And by playing last night, I must admit, because there's only one stage open, it was main stage.
Yeah.
I've done this before when there's been like three stages going on, and you share in the audience. Mm. Last night we had everyone there, and that was the beauty of it, really.
Last night was a great. It was a great start. The four bands. Doing their thing, a little bit longer than you might have had if it was today and you were on
first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
and it was just, you get a proper feel of what you guys do. And I suppose from your point of view, that's that bit where you go, you get that first couple of songs, and you go, now we're settled, we can change gear and really go for it.
I'm just trying to get used to the beast from the south. The beast from the east, and then I've got the beast from the south.
The beast from
the power. In the, you know, it's just so different.
In soundcheck, the bass drum, the level of the bass drum on stage actually blew my my plug out. My amp turned off. What's going on? I've blown a fuse. I checked in, the plug had fell out.
Wow.
For the so I had to take it down.
He hits them, didn't he? I went, they're not there to be tickled.
Exactly,
vibration on stage, the whole thing,
brushes.
The sound.
Brushes,
like painful on your feet sometimes. Oh, yeah.
Is that what you think? I should have gone for comfort over style.
They're just boots. They're just comfortable boots. But the actual vibration from the sound from the floor at times is just like, wow, you're lifting your feet off the floor. Then you are.
I think it's great. The music
about in it. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
But the music's so exciting to play. Mm. You know, you want to sing along and dance along. So, you know, you just want to lay into it and you know, get the whole place jumping. Mm. You know, that's what I loved about, you know, the band when I first joined them. The songs, the material was so strong.
Yeah.
And actually, a shout out to all these fans here, because you know what it's like with English audiences. You know, to be fair, we've been spoiled in this country because we've had the best bands in the planet since the 70s, right? So there comes a point where they kind of stand their arms folded going, go on, entertain me then. Yeah. I've seen Zeppelin, you know.
Show me.
Exactly. You know, we've had Sabbath. But this lot were just jumping from song one and into it and really showing enthusiasm. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like that energy. We're all giving it out and they're giving it back. What a show. You know, everyone's having fun and a really good time and into it. That's what I really felt with this festival.
That's how we always sort of try and... That's the criteria of the songs, great hooks. The songs are written, obviously, around Sue's voice.
Yeah.
And to make the most of the chorus. But we also always try and add a little bit of interest in there, because we've always touched on a little bit of progressive kind of prog moments in the past. There's always something on an album that's going to be 6 or 7 minutes, possibly one song. Apart from that, though, it's all 3-4 minute commercial, high-driven.
Yeah. AOR. Smash the dashboard.
Yes. Yeah. Fish cane tune.
Great fret. Now that's an album title. Smash the dashboard.
Smash the dashboard.
There you go. Yeah.
Might be not an AOR album, but I might. I'll just put that in the ideas book.
Before I get sued, I think I've got that off Extreme from way back in the day.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. I'm sure I heard Gary Cherone say in an interview once, smash the dashboard.
Well, I thought Six String Revolver was totally unique.
Yeah.
Now there's a band, I've seen a band call themselves Six String Revolver. It's like, thanks, guys.
Trademark everything. Yeah. That's the key. Yeah. Just trademark everything and then you're fine.
That album and the album cover was unique, I think. So it was my guitar on the back of it. Mm. That actual photograph was how we created that as opposed to using something off the internet.
Yeah.
We should also say that Al is not with us. He went home last night. So
He's a bit empty space, Al.
He's a bit quiet today.
He's a bit quiet.
He certainly looked like he was enjoying himself. And I've been through some of my photos, and he was having a lovely time too.
He's
such a nice guy.
I was going to say so old-fashioned. I'm so old. I come from the school where it's like, the first thing I can ever remember as a kid is seeing the sweet on Top of the Pops. It's great not speaking to Swedish people, because I can say Top of the Pops and you know what I mean. And that was the thing that made me want... I said to people, I said, that is what I want to do. And I was 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
My mates now go, what, cross-dress? I went, well, Fridays and Saturdays, maybe. But no, I want a guitar. And I want that guitar.
Yeah.
And then later on, I wanted a Firebird. And I got a Firebird. And I thought, I wonder where that came from. And I thought it was Nicky Six's bass. And I didn't want to be a bass player, so Firebird. And it actually turns out that Andy Scott played Firebirds and Strats and all sorts. And that's where it came from.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've never, ever lost that. And I still can't believe at 50 I'm still finding new bands. Like, that's amazing. And there's people who say they love music. They go listen to the same stuff they've listened to for 30 or 40 years. I'm like, that's new. That's amazing. That's great. But I can pinpoint that to that thing. and that was where I wanted to be a guitar player. I wanted to play in bands, I wanted to play rock music, and that was it. But I always loved pop, so it's so that kind of fired me at what they so annoyingly pigeonholes AOR, because it's not really. But can you guys remember what made you want to sort of, for you, Sue, well, I want to be a singer, and Tim, well, I want to play guitar, and Scott, you wanted to hit things.
Do you want to answer that?
You can start with that one.
Probably seeing Kiss in the sort of early 80s. Well, no, actually, it wouldn't be, because I was already playing by then. I think it was just going to a few gigs and feeling the energy. I think Iron Maiden, actually, on the Metal for Mothers tour.
Yeah.
That was one of my first gigs, and I think that was around the time when I started playing many, many years ago. And I loved that energy, and quickly came out of that kind of music and went for the more American style.
Yeah.
But I loved that energy. And seeing that guy there, and it just... What a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
Stand there playing a guitar and ripping.
Yeah.
And everybody's going, wow, you know, can I do that? And that's what I wanted to do. So simple as that, really.
Favourite guitar player ever?
Gary Moore.
Which era?
It's not his blues era. It would be not the poor man's voice. Victims of the Future kind of era. Corridors of Power, especially. Yeah. His sort of pink salmon strap era with the Marshall
is the right answer. And
passion.
I know. I'm not supposed to say that. You're supposed to go, oh, the blues albums are great, and I've got them. And yeah, they're all right. But
I mean, he's an amazing player in that
period.
But the pure passion and I mean, I like his progressive stuff as well.
Yeah.
Like the stuff he did with John Heisman and Don Airey. I forget what they were called, top of my head, but. That late 80s feel was awesome. Neil Sean as well.
I always loved rock music, and I sort of Old White Snake and Rainbow and that kind of stuff. But
what's wrong with you, White Snake?
Nothing's wrong with me. But I'm on about before they went that real sort of commercial.
The commercial
I'm on about Blind
bit.
Man and all, you know, all that, the old bluesier stuff. And what sort of powered me to go into it, because it, you know, it's a man's world, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Rock music was Heart and Vixen and all that coming into to play, and that's what sort of spurred me into wanting to do it. So yeah, and you know, going back to Blondie when she came out, and you know, some of that, like you say, the pop, the rock, because I like a whole load of music. I like opera, and I was brought up on Barbara Streisand, you know, and Elaine Page, and that kind of, you know, songs from the shows kind of people. But that was it for me. When women started to come into rock,
and do it,
that was what spurred me into it.
That's cool. And you, Scott?
Well, my father was a lead singer.
Right.
So we had music in the family growing up from very young. When he was a massive Deep Purple, Queen, Rainbow... All those kind of bands, so we had that going on all the time. Whitesnake was a massive in the house, so when I used to watch, you know, those kind of shows, those people, you know, play live, my brother started playing drums, so I kind of like copied him, and he was a massive rock fan, so he got me into Iron Maiden and people like that. So I'd seen this kind of Tommy Aldridge play, and then Nico McBrain, and then I went back and watched, you know, Keith Moon, and probably Animal from the Muppets, I don't know.
But great drummer.
I just remember seeing, just thinking, wow, that would be so cool. This guy's going crazy, arms everywhere, all that equipment, and that thunderous cannon sounds of drums. It was something about rhythm and drumming that I just loved.
And that was one thing that struck me last night, was the drum sound.
Oh, yeah.
Again, it must be something about being a kid of the 80s. I like a set that not like Tupperware pots. Sometimes get that sound, and it just sounds like someone's hitting a Tupperware pot.
Yeah.
It needs to have a boom to it.
That's what I was saying about the stage and the live and the feel, and you just feel it coming up through the floor.
Kicks
yeah,
like
the engineer is awesome.
The snare is like a shotgun going off. It was brilliant, and that inspires you actually. When you get that sound on stage and you're playing, and you're hitting these toms and it's going off like a firework display, it's like, oh, you play better. You do. You opened up that guitar last night, it was like, oh, it was amazing, wasn't it? Massive wall of guitar sound.
Yeah.
It's inspiring.
Well, thank you so much for that. I'm going to let you get on with your lovely day. Get warm and things. But yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
And hope to catch you again very soon.
Yeah.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
No problem. You're very welcome.
Thanks, Dave.